I'm Talia Johnson Watkins.
And I'm David West.
And you're listening to In the Public Interest.
On KTSW, the other side of radio.
Texas holds its primary elections on March 6th. Early voting is already underway and ends March 2nd.
That's right. On today's show, we're going to hear highlights from Texas House District 45 candidates who attended our debates.
First, we will hear from Republican candidates Austin Talley and Naomi Narvaez.
Thank you. Good evening. Austin Talley, running for state representative in District 45. My family has deep roots in Texas. You know, we date back to 1822. My great ancestor fired the cannon at Battle Gonzales and started the Texas Revolution. I hold that dear, near and dear to my heart, and I feel like Texas has always been home. No matter when I'm living abroad or living in D.C., that Texas was where my roots were. I saw an opportunity to represent my community when I noticed nobody registered to file to run. I said, well, I'm not scared of leadership. So I filed. With that, I felt like with my trials in the military and the government that I had the ability to face those adversities at the State House. Thank you for your time.
Good evening, everyone. My name's Naomi Narvaez. I am your candidate, conservative candidate for House District 45. I am an 18-year resident of Hays County, 47-year resident of Texas, and I am married to Jeffrey Narvaez, who's sitting right over there. We have five grown children. We have three sons, veterans, and one active. Our last one is in the U.S. Army Continental Color Guard in Arlington, and two daughters.
The candidates were asked about debt in Hays County and what role the government should play in helping its citizens.
You know, traditionally, I would say the state needs to stay out of municipal operations, everyday operations. But we might be red in state, but sadly, our municipals are forgetting what their obligation is to our community. Government debt has intruded into our lives every day as Texans and as Americans. It sits on our like a boulder on our shoulders of every generation, forever limiting the opportunity and the choices of life. It drives up the cost of living. It creates citizens of servitude. We work, we eat, we sleep, we pay bills, we pay our taxes, repeat. If we want to do more, we have to gamble on going into further debt. And if we succeed, government tries to tell us how much success is too much. This can happen here in Texas. It's happened in Puerto Rico. I lived in Puerto Rico when I served the military, and I went back after the hurricane hit. And I've witnessed it start and end into what a municipal catastrophic debt can do to a community. People flee ongoing. Government officials cannot do all what they want to do, so we must prioritize what we need to do. And I think we need to put a cap on for the long term and regular operational cost of what that debt, when you're borrowing 150 times of what your revenue is generating, all you're doing is drowning the next generation. And to me, that's unacceptable. We need to have more responsibility as government officials that represent our constituents. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Talley. Ms. Narvaez, same question.
Well, I'll challenge Mr. Talley because states have rights and states created local government. And so states have the right to tell local government what to do. What I would do is make sure that at the ballot, the voters know. And I think one of the problems is that we have low information voters. They get to the ballot and they really don't know exactly what they're voting for. Yes, they understand that we want whatever, you know, the city or the school districts are asking for, improvements, whatever that the case may be, but they don't see how it's going to affect their pocketbook. So I would like to see on the ballot for them to have the principal and the interest that the voter is going to pay for. Make it clear, make it more transparent, and then, you know, educate the voters. I've been doing this for many years here in Hays County and across 18 counties, being that I sit on the SREC, trying to help people to know what, you know, what is coming up and what we need to do, you know, to lower this. We need to stop the spending. Government has to stop. Cut, you know, whatever we need to do. But the spending is getting out of control, especially here in Hays County.
I agreed with us putting a cap on municipals. Too many government employees elect or appointed officials believe that their first responsibility is to protect the soundness of government. And no, their first responsibility and priority is to protect the soundness of the citizens, reduce debt, and reduce the cost of government. That's what our liberty is, limited government.
With the Texas Compassionate Use Act now in effect, the candidates were asked about the legalization of marijuana with regards to federal versus state laws.
You know, I support state power, but I just say be cautious of federal mandates. You know, we can say it's legalized here in the state of Texas. And because I know there's so many people within the community that I'm so near and dear to my heart that could benefit from it. Opiates is highly addictive. Since 2012, we've quadrupled in heroin addiction. The majority of those people were on opiates before they got into heroin. And then they get addicted to fentanyl. And that is leads to about drug-related overdose or deaths. It's about 40,000 in the country. So we need to do a lot to start addressing some of those pandemic issues.
So if it came up on the ballot, Felicia, and Texans, the majority of Texans agreed with it, I would follow the rule of law. And if they wanted to do that and the citizens came and wanted, you know, for us to put it on there and it passed, then that's what we need to do. Yes, we need to listen to the people, the citizens of Texas.
With Hurricanes Harvey and Maria on the minds of voters, the candidates were asked about flood prevention and environmental concerns.
So I had a unique situation in life when Katrina happened. I was in charge of everything south of Baton Rouge for the company I was working for. And in between my deployments of life, I decided I had an effort to go down there and help. So I was there for the first 90 days. I've seen it firsthand here in Texas as well, when it hit 2015 here in Wimberley, and when it hit Houston, the coastline, Florida, Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico. You know, we've learned from Army Corps of Engineers is that our levees and our dams are outdated. And so if we're not expecting that there's going to be a cycle of floods or rains, downpours that are could cause catastrophic damage to our community, we're only kidding ourselves. So we need to start to stop letting people come back in 5 years and redevelop flood zones, because then they just face that devastation when the flood comes through again.
That's exactly right. Austin's right. During this time, I kept up with a lot of what the city was doing, and there's a lot of conversations that have been going on, and we just need to stop building apartments in those areas because it's flooding out our homeowners and some of our communities. But the environment, I think we need to protect it, of course, but I don't think that we need to make it a top priority when it comes to individuals, if that kind of makes sense. It makes sense to me.
The candidates were asked about the controversial bathroom bill and if they would support bringing it forward for a vote.
I would definitely support it. And I would support it because I believe privacy is important. And I understand the issue is important to many of you. I've heard all different sides, you know, people that are not for it that feel like it's a waste of time. But for our daughters, for our children, you know, these issues are are important. You know, when you have a child that comes to the mom and you know, feels, you know, uncomfortable or whatever the case may be. You know, having daughters, you know, I want their protection and my own. So, yes, I would support it for that reason.
I believe the government has more sensual issues at hand. You know, it costs $48,000 a day in special hearings to run our government. So I think that money needs to be utilized to doing things that are more important. I understand the privacy and the questions at public schools, and I think maybe the government needs to intervene there. If we have students that have needs, then maybe there's accommodations with additional bathrooms that could be created for those people, because we're trying to harvest an environment that promotes healthy living. And if these people need to be able to have access accommodations just like you would in ADA, why wouldn't we provide a little bit of reasonable accommodation? I think in the private, in the public sector, in the in commercial district, free enterprise. If you don't listen to your majority market and you decide to put bathrooms that doesn't reflect that, and your customers stop showing up and 30% or 15%, I mean, that's a lot of revenue. And people aren't going to operate when they lose revenue, and they'll adjust accordingly. That freedom of enterprise works both ways.
Well, I think it goes both ways. And, you know, whatever the case may be, when this issue is brought up, and I believe it will, one of the things that I'll be fighting for is constitutional carry, because let me tell you something. If I have to go somewhere and either men or women that might think of harming me are going to be there, then I better be carrying my gun, because I'm not going to allow that to happen.
There are 5 Republican candidates for Texas House District 45. The others are Amy Akers, Amber Pierce, and Kenneth Strange.
Next, we'll hear from Democratic candidates Aaron Zwiener, Rebecca Bell Medderow, and Les Karn.
My name is Aaron Zwiener. I'm a candidate for House District 45 to represent Hayes and Blanco counties in the Texas legislature. I stepped up to run almost a year ago when I realized that the incumbent in this seat did not represent this district, despite his title. And it's been quite an adventure to dive into running for office for the first time. We've built relationships across the district. We also have knocked on hundreds of doors across House District 45, and we're going to keep doing that work. What I have noticed is that when I'm knocking on doors and I ask folks what issues are important to them, almost without fail, they tell me, oh, where do we start? So we're going to discuss a lot of issues tonight, and I would encourage you, if what you care about doesn't get addressed, please come talk to me after and let me know what those issues are.
I'm Rebecca Bell Medderow, and that rhymes with hetero, as in heterogeneous. We have a very heterogeneous population here in Texas, a lot of different kinds of people, and I want to represent all of those people. We have a system in Texas where we don't really have a representation for the people and by the people. It's moneyed interests and pay-to-play, a good old boy system that does not allow equal participation or equal benefits. I've been a teacher now for 35 years, and I am devoted to education. I also have served the community as a planning and zoning commissioner, on the Blue Ribbon Bond Commission, and I believe that we can do better in the state of Texas if we stand up and support Texas State University and the other institutions in our area.
Thank you all for coming. You know, y'all are definitely committed to this, just like we are. My background is in revenue accounting, criminal investigations, and local government assistance at the Comptroller's Office, which is where all the money winds up and then gets allocated out, dispersed due to state law. Basically, it comes down to 20 years of a party saying no to spending on education and everything else that will benefit the people, the normal taxpayers. So what you have to do really is reverse what they've done for the last 20 years, the Republican legislature. We haven't held a statewide office for 20 years. While I was in state government, I'm currently in county government, but while I was in state government, I watched as these folks came in and did this no new taxes stuff. They weren't listening to y'all as y'all's property taxes were going up, as education needs were going up, as the population was rising and the demands were there. All they wanted to do was give tax breaks, and they did. They gave tax breaks to industries that are highly profitable now. They gave them well after the purpose of those tax breaks were originally installed.
School funding is an important topic in the 2018 election, and the candidates were asked about their plan for changing school funding.
Public education is so important here in Texas. It's so important that our public education system was enshrined in the Texas Constitution. However, over the course of my entire life, I'm 32, the state's commitment to funding public education has consistently decreased. We're down to the state funding about 38% of our local neighborhood schools, with most of the rest of that burden falling onto local taxpayers through property taxes. That puts our school districts into a horrible place. They have two choices. They can cut services, or they can raise local property taxes. Most districts have done some combination of these two strategies. Here in San Marcos CISD, multiple elementary schools have had to request waivers to go beyond the minimum class size, and that's true in Hayes CISD as well. That is a factor of lack of funding. We already have some great representatives in the Texas legislature who are fighting hard to make sure that we fund our public schools, and when I am in the legislature, I will work closely with them, starting with an amendment to the Texas State Constitution to require that at least 50% of our neighborhood schools' costs are covered by the state of Texas. And if we have to dip into the rainy day fund, which really we should call the Economic Stabilization Fund, to do that some years, I am happy to do that. That fund is there specifically to deal with years when we have revenue shortfalls, not to be locked away in the case of the zombie apocalypse. So I will recommit to public education, and that also includes making sure that we pay our teachers adequately and that we reduce our testing down to the federal minimum, because that is a place where we waste a lot of dollars in education and unfairly punish our schools, our educators, and our students.
The candidates were asked about climate change and what they would do about the issue.
So a lot of people think that education is well-funded in Texas if they don't know any better. So the first important thing to do is to educate the public. I can't tell you how many people I've heard say, oh, well, the Texas Lottery supports education. And in fact, that's just an illusion. It goes to the people who run the lottery, it goes to the general fund, and only about 1% actually goes to education. So a lot of people who are property owners know that we have the Robin Hood system, which means that if you own property, you are going to be supporting education. And if you live in a poor district, some of that wealth property will go to your district, but not enough to really make it so your schools are equal. We have savage inequalities in the kind of education that people get. And the state keeps diminishing public education, because they would like to see the whole education system be for profit. And that is what I've been battling against. I ran for State Board of Education 3 times to make it so that we actually have a strong education and a strong curriculum. But we have to look at that issue of funding. Now, obviously, if we take some money from the Rainy Day Fund, we have to figure out where we're going to make that up. If we readjusted our budget so that we took the Medicaid expansion, that would be the equivalent of about $9 or $10 billion every year that we've already paid for. Another place where we could change the budget is by not spending so much on prisons. It is estimated that for security prisons, It costs about $160,000 a year to house a prisoner. And that's destructive, and it hurts our system, and it wastes taxpayer dollars. So there are multi-pronged ways to address this issue, but first of all, we have to educate and inform the public so that they buy in.
We have to recommit to the purpose of a tax. A tax is to provide a service. There's dedicated taxes out there, and the ones that were intended for education, it wasn't the lottery, by the way. I remember that because I was working in the controller's office at the time. I remember the campaign. Some people said it was for education. Well, they also say that fuels tax is for education, too. Yes, a small part of it that's not used and dedicated to other things. What we have to do is come up with new revenue sources, which are there. We also have to start collecting the tax that's meant to be collected. The franchise tax has been whittled down to nothing. If you pay franchise tax, you know, it's chump change for you because you've got about $1.5 million, give or take $100,000 there, that you get to not pay tax on. You know, basically, that's the beginning point of a tax base. So, having said that, there are other ways to do this. We've got to get back to actually taking care of people and not taking care of corporations. Oil and gas industry does not need your subsidies. It just doesn't. They don't need the franchise tax subsidies. They do not need the manufacturing tax, sales tax breaks they get as well. They just don't need it. I know this because I used to work in the sales tax, giving those refunds back. So, having said that, yeah, the money is there. Y'all have already paid it in. We just have to get it back to where it needs to go, and that's to the teachers, to the retired teachers, to the schools, and just get these guys out of office. Republicans do not serve you well. I will. Water is my issue, okay? One of my issues, as well as all the other concerns of my neighbors. Clean air is another issue for me, and clean air goes hand in hand with climate change. If you're dumping hydrocarbons and other pollutants into the air, well, first off, you're going to get asthma after a while. Second off, you're by state standards, you're going to have to abide by the EPA because the state made that into law here. No matter what they do to the EPA, it would take a change in state law not for us not to abide by those standards. And the Austin area, which is what we're part of, is pretty close to losing its clean air attainment, its standards. So climate change is a worldwide deal. The air blows. The air blows from Houston over to here. It blows from Dallas down to here. And it goes the other way. It comes from Mexico. It comes from the Gulf. There's different air qualities throughout the year. However, if we're not taking care of it here, it's going to be somebody else's problem. And eventually it's going to be our problem driving industries out of here or not coming here because they'd have to be held to tighter standards. Also, it would impact your cars. You're not going to be able to drive a 100 or 200,000 mile car for very long if it can't pass the emissions test. So this is all just tied together. If we're not maintaining our clean air, our clean water goes next, and then we have people trying to steal our water. So that's a whole nother issue. So we've got to pay attention. We've got to do it in the legislature because that's what impacts us. Thank you.
To Candidate Zwiener.
I'm a lifelong environmentalist. One of my first jobs when I was 17 was knocking on doors for Texas Campaign for the Environment for their computer recycling campaign. After that, I grew up here in Central Texas, but I studied natural resource conservation at the University of Montana. and worked for collaborative conservation organizations, building public-private partnerships and doing wildland restoration. So much of the goal of that wildland restoration work was trying to increase the resiliency of ecosystems to climate change. And what was startling to me then and still frustrating for me now is that my industry was already past the conversation of, is climate change real? And we were trying to deal with it. And I'm very glad to see that we're starting to get there. I think enough folks have seen weather be consistently startling enough that they are starting to believe that climate change finally is real. What we can do here in Texas is we can invest in renewable energy. Solar jobs are actually one of the fastest growing industries in Texas, and they're growing faster. Those jobs are growing faster here than they are in the rest of the country. I actually have two little brothers who work installing solar panels for private individuals. Texas passed renewable energy portfolio standards. That means creating a minimum amount of renewable energy that our power companies had to source from in 1999. Pretty ahead of the curve. Unfortunately, it was a very low target, and we met that target in 2005, and those renewable standards have not been updated since. The most essential thing we can do to fight climate change is update that renewable portfolio standard, set it at a percentage instead of a flat rate, and make it a percentage that will increase every 5 or 10 years so that we here in Texas keep sourcing more and more of our energy from clean, green, non-carbon emitting sources.
Candidate Bill Medero.
As the chairman of, or chair, I should say, chair of the Environmental and Sustainability Committee at the university, I have been thinking about this a lot and for a long time. I was once the Earth Goddess of the Earth First organization, and it was an interesting time. We founded the River Fest, and since that time, it's become more of a celebration of the end of the semester than it is an environmental event, but we're taking it back to that through the Green Cat Challenge. I'm also a member of over 20 environmental organizations and contribute to them. And one of them, the Texas Renewable Energy Industry Association, has a conference every year. And just this last conference, I went up to Georgetown to hear Al Gore speak for the third time I've seen him in person. And he was introduced by Dale Ross, the mayor of Georgetown, who is a staunch Republican. And when he introduced him, he said that Al Gore does more in a day than most people do in a lifetime for life on this planet. He was such a fan, and they travel around together all the time because Georgetown and Southwestern is on 100% renewable energy. And they are famous around the country for doing this, but we don't have to reinvent the wheel here. We can go to see the model communities and the model ways of dealing with global warming and imitate those practices. And there are so many simple practices. Making our roofs be light and reflective. If we also enter and use more research and development here in Hays County, a Texas state, to create new technologies to deal with global warming and to dial it back in the future.
We'd like to thank all our debate participants and look forward to the results after the March 6th election.
Be sure to go out and vote, everyone. For In the Public Interest, I'm Talia Johnson-Watkins.
And I'm David West. In lieu of a quote for this week, I leave you with this message. Get out there and vote.